Merry Springball Eve from the Podcast Daily. It is Monday, and it is a jam-packed week of football at Ohio State and in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. That is Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Bill, the holiday spirit is in the air. What do you think? We got a big week ahead of us.
We get presents for this or what?
Well, the best thing. Yeah, the best thing about this holiday is that on the eve of it, you get presents as well. So later on today, we'll actually be hearing from Will Howard, Devin Brown, Lincoln Keenholz, Travion Henderson. So, like, we get some football talk even before we get to watch football. So the week ahead, here's what it's going to look like. There will be interviews later on today in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We will be there. We'll have snap judgments. We'll also have roosters. We'll have all the football coverage you could possibly want in early March. We have open viewing periods on Tuesday and Thursday as the Buckeyes get two practices in before spring break. So three big days of spring ball coverage to get it started. I don't know. I just couldn't be happier that we get to go out there and actually watch a little football.
I consider that a present. I consider being able to actually ask football questions of people, even watch a little bit of football in the beginning of March. That is for someone like me, you know, I don't have much else going on. So that's great. That's a great present.
Herb seems less enthused.
No, I'm trying to piece together whether or not the fact that we get Will Howard, Devin Brown, and Lincoln Keenholz on Monday is a sign that that's the end of the conversation we're going to get with quarterbacks throughout all of spring.
Yeah, it is.
It sure is.
So it is. It's a little bittersweet because I'd like to be able to talk to them through this process, of course, but I do think it will provide some interesting subplots throughout the spring. I'm very curious just to hear from Lincoln and Devin, and we've already talked to Will this offseason, both on the podcast, but also in person when they had the transfer day a few weeks ago. So I'm curious to see what Will and Devin, how their chemistry is, how their interaction is, how Lincoln's is with them, how Lincoln and Devin are combating this idea that Will Howard is the presumptive starter. So there's going to be a lot of interesting conversation on Monday. And certainly getting a chance to watch football this week is good. I'm just disappointed that you didn't have any alliterative title for what we were expecting to get out of this, because when you were like, happy spring ball Eve, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but like Merry Monday didn't sound good to me either. So I just Merry Media Monday. I don't know. That would have been probably worse. I don't know. Here's what you will get, Berm. You'll get to talk to the quarterbacks on March 4th. And April 13th, and you'll like it. You get no other option.
That's okay. I mean, but again, I think that this week for these guys is all about mindset. There's going to be this weird jockeying back and forth, and we've seen Devin Brown, posting on social media. Like, this isn't a kid who's backing down. I don't expect Lincoln Keenholz will either, despite the fact that his mindset probably is a touch different than Devin Brown's. But I do think it provides some really opportune moments for us as media to like get some quotables from Devin Brown, because I'm sure he's going to deliver them on Monday.
Yeah, he always does. So that will be interesting. And Lincoln Keenholz as well will have something that'll probably be more enjoyable to talk about than the last time. Was that his only media appearance? Was after the Cotton Bowl of last year? I believe he spoke because he didn't talk in camp, and he wasn't in spring. So the first time that he ever had to talk to Ohio State media was after the Cotton Bowl. This should be a lot more informative for like his mindset. I mean, I know that we have all talked to him in non-press conference settings, but that is an unfortunate turn of events for him. Now he's got that one exposure to us, and that one wasn't the most enjoyable for anybody.
No, I think he got asked one question. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly? It's like it wasn't even a whole lot of Lincoln Keenholz experience. We got to hear what he sounds like speaking into a microphone, which I guess is useful. But no, I'm excited to talk with him. I find it interesting even that he's I don't mean this come up the wrong way, but like included in the conversation with Devin Brown and Will Howard. Because if Ryan Day had come out and said, like, we got these two guys, we're gonna see who wins the starting job, I don't think any of us would be like, oh, hold up, like, what are we doing here? But it does seem like they are including Lincoln Keenholz in that conversation. And part of that is probably like, you know, it's 2024 and you got to keep your quarterbacks engaged. I get that. But I think that Cotton Bowl experience and the way he handled himself, like, I know he didn't have an opportunity to play all that well because it was kind of a weird deal. And I really don't know you know, how much work he got even going into that game. So I'm not even taking that as any kind of, you know, example of what Lincoln Kienholz could eventually be as a college quarterback. But even like to sit in that room after the game and talk to us and like not seem like overwhelmed by the moment of it, I thought said a lot about the kind of makeup that Lincoln has. So I'm very curious now to see what he's like in this kind of setting where we're talking to him in the Woody and he's part of a pretty high profile quarterback competition with a transfer that everyone is aware of and a guy like Devin Brown, who's not afraid to speak his mind or kind of be, I think like honest and forthcoming about his thoughts on the competition. So Lincoln compared to those two guys who are much older than him too, I think it'll be an interesting juxtaposition, but it will be nice to get to like know, or I think, like you said, we kind of know a little bit, but I think for people other than the media, they've had like rare interactions with him to kind of see what he's made of and kind of see what his personality is.
Yeah. And that's like, it's a tough spot for him to be in as well. If the first media opportunity for him is after the Cotton Bowl, which nobody enjoyed. And then the second one is like, you have to go out and everyone's going to be like, hey, what do you think about Will Howard coming in here to be the transfer? And everyone thinks he's the starter, or you're behind Devin Brown. You weren't supposed to start or play in the Cotton Bowl either. Like, you're supposed to get these opportunities out of the way. They're fun. Like, hey, welcome. Like, who are you? What do you like to do? And Link Keynotes was kind of robbed of all of that, which just kind of stinks a little bit because there's not going to be a lot of like personality driven stuff with him today. Although Berm, I think, will probably try and bring some of it out of him.
I'm going to ask him if he has a vegan diet. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. That's really all that matters for Iowa State quarterbacks is what their diet consists of. No, I agree though. I mean, the problem with Lincoln but the issue for Lincoln is that he arrived in June. And so we didn't get the early enrollee stuff with him last spring. And then he comes in, he's the quarterback, you know, down the list between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown and then Lincoln. And then you have to figure out what his role is heading into the Cotton Bowl. And as Bill said, like, I don't think he got as many reps as maybe we anticipated he would heading into that game. I think it seemed like it was, there was speculation it was going to be kind of a 50-50-ish split heading into the Cotton Bowl, but that's not the impression we got at the end of the game. And then you get that game happening the way it did. You get one question for Lincoln and then 15 questions about whether or not the buildings in Columbus are all need to be burnt to the ground. And so it's not like we got a real sense of anything about Lincoln Kienholz as a player, as a person. But I know, knowing him from his recruitment, he's a super competitive kid. I think he's really going to shine in this setting. And my biggest thing, or the most important thing that I'm looking at on Monday with Lincoln, is does he look different physically? I mean, that was the step that he really needs to take. Is he diving into the weight room? Is his body changing to allow him to be more physical on the football field? Because that's where he's going to have to make that next step. Athletically, he is on the same level as Devin Brown, or maybe even higher, as far as what he can do with the ball in his hands and that sort of stuff. But you have to be able to get into the next part of your development and build. I mean, that's why he's talking. He's a sophomore now. Like, you can't hide him. So yeah, they got to bring him out there. And you can't just say, hey, well, he's not really in this battle. And then here's Julian saying and Aaron Oland on Saturday, where people are talking to them at the 1870 Society event. So Lincoln needs his moment to shine, and I think he'll do it. He always does.
I think we can get like a good 5 minutes on the correct pronunciation of his hometown in South Dakota. Like, we can spend some time on that, because I'll speak for myself. When I was in third grade, I learned that it was Pierre, South Dakota, not Pierre. So we have some stuff to get into.
I bet there's not a lot of vegans in South Dakota.
Famously no vegetables in that state.
So it sounds like we've got that covered. That'll be great information. I'm sure people will be coming back for that. Bill, take me into your game plan for these media opportunities. Two viewing windows, Tuesday and Thursday. We have Ryan Day will talk on Tuesday. Chip Kelly with his first press conference at Ohio State. There's a lot to get into beyond what we have just later on Monday. Like, what are you hoping to learn? What's your game plan for the week ahead?
Yeah, I guess like in order of priority, it doesn't necessarily have to be this way because they're kind of split out on different days, but hearing from Chip Kelly for the first time, I think, is going to be really important. Like kind of how, I guess how Ryan Day presents it, if it's at all any different from the way that he presented the addition of Bill O'Brien, in the sense that like perhaps more familiarity between Ryan Day and Chip Kelly than there would have been between Ryan Day and Bill O'Brien might afford Chip Kelly some more opportunity to tweak some things a little bit. Chip Kelly twerks some things. We'll have more to talk about. So I think that'll be interesting. Like I have a lot of questions about where exactly this run game is going. I don't anticipate getting all of them answered on the first day of spring practice. And Chip Kelly might think I'm a madman if I try to get that. But over time, I'd like to try to glean some of that information. You know, when we're watching practice, definitely looking at the offensive line, where Josh Fryer is, how many guys it seems like might actually be in that competition. And it'll be difficult because we're not watching full practices this first week. So we'll have to, I don't know, finesse that a little bit and try to project or just see how all that shakes out. Maybe there won't be a whole lot to learn until we get to watch a full practice later on in spring, but certainly we'll have my eyes on that. And then, you know, Jim Knowles later in the week, it's time to figure out where Sonny Styles is playing, right? I think we've all kind of theorized on that and talked a lot about it. I am very much looking forward to being able to ask the question and then maybe not even having to talk about it anymore, because I'm sure people are already kind of bored to death of the conversation already. It's a big one and it's an important one for the defense, and we've gotten really little on the way of answers thus far. I'm hoping Jim Knowles can provide some later on this week.
Yeah. Berm, what are you doing?
I'm just trying to imagine if there would be a better introductory press conference than Chip Kelly twerking. And I can't think of
that. Would that win the press conference or lose the press conference?
I think it would win it from my perspective. I mean, I think it wins it automatically. It would place him probably just a notch ahead of Jeff Hafley as far as introductory press conferences go.
Well, that's because Jeff Hafley hit the Dougie.
Yeah, well, and that was big at the time. But it does give me a new mission for the season, which is last year I failed to get Marvin to dab. But now if I can get Chip Kelly.
Amen.
I mean, if I can get Chip Kelly to twerk, that'd be amazing. I'm really interested in a couple things. Number one, the defensive end rotation. And we're not going to see a lot of JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer this week. So I'm sure we're not going to get a lot of answers on what the long-term goal is for Jim Knowles as far as how he wants these guys to rotate eventually. But I am interested to see where Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson and Mitchell Melton have elevated themselves to physically. Beyond that, and it's maybe inside baseball-ish, but with now Todd Fitch leaving the program and going to LSU, and I'm just trying to figure out how the quarterback room is going to work, because we had a lot of conversation a week ago, not even a week ago, on Friday, about, you know, how they're going to break down the quarterback assignments between the starters and the backups and the two freshmen. And I think we all had this idea that Todd Fitch would play a pretty substantial role in preparing Lincoln Kienholz and Devin Brown or Will Howard, whoever the backups are. And now he's not there off at LSU. And I don't think, or it's not at least seemingly obvious, that Ohio State is going to replace him with a like-for-like guy. From what I understand, the decision to bring in Larry Johnson's son, Tony, is another analyst, is what ended up moving Todd Fitch out the door. So now you got to find out who's going to be working in that quarterback room after losing three guys, I mean, Corey Dennis and Todd Fitch and Ryan Day from that room. So that is a lot of stuff being put on the plate for Chip Kelly. And I want to see how he handles that going from being the head coach to an offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach. That's really where my eyes are going to be.
Well, a lot of this conversation too about Ryan Day taking a step back from leading position groups, working directly with the quarterbacks, was based on the idea that Todd Fitch could handle that and continue to assist with Chip Kelly or with Bill O'Brien before that. So the timing of this right before the start of spring camp, I would have to say, is a lot less than ideal for Ohio State. And I don't know how they can maneuver it, but I do think that if you're going to continue to put, if Ryan Day is going to continue to put himself in a world where he doesn't have to work with the position and can be the CEO, and if he dabbles, it's on special teams, then somebody else is going to have to assist there with the quarterbacks in some form or fashion. Whether that means you're moving around personnel that's already in the building or going to find somebody else and concocting another title. I mean, that in the grand scheme, this would seem like a pretty small potatoes thing to be looking at and worrying about, like a senior quality control analyst working with the quarterbacks. But it does like seem to have an outsized importance for Ohio State specifically for what it means for Ryan Day. So like such a weird thing that we would have to even be thinking about on the day before spring practice starts. But I mean, I think in the long run, it there's some kind of adjustment is going to have to be made.
Yeah, they're gonna need someone who speaks quarterback, right? That's Larry Johnson's son was a receiver at Penn State, so it's hard for me to square that one if one had an impact on the other. I know Joe Philbin also left, so that opened up an offensive analyst role as well. I don't know who off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone in the building with a quarterback background that might be able to like step into that role. I don't call JT Barrett, see if he wants to come back to Columbus. You know, like I think there's a few different things they could do, and I do think at times we tend to like overstate the importance of these positions, but Ohio State did have someone who I think was pretty overqualified to be an analyst in that quarterback's room with Todd Fitch and his coordinator experience that he brought to that position. So doesn't necessarily have to be someone with that resume, but I also don't think it's a spot where you just like, oh, we'll throw this guy in there because he's around and we have a vacancy, right? I think you need to put a little more thought into it than that. And at least I hope Ohio State would.
Yeah, I think.
So I'm just saying the timing is bad. I mean, no matter which way you want to slice it, they certainly it's Ohio State if they want to find someone to replace Todd Fitch in that room and bring in a new quarterback analyst or bring in a quarterback GA, they'll find one. But I mean, here we are. It's Monday. You just get this news on Saturday, 2 days before spring ball starts. Like that's bad timing.
I'm going to endorse Bill's idea that you make a call to JT Barrett again. I think you could have already done that if you were Ohio State.
We'll call him right
now. Yeah, well, we can get him.
Let's get JT on the horn.
Patch him in. Hey, JT, we don't know for sure what Ohio State can offer you, but we bet that it's more than a assistant to the assistant coach NFL position. And you get to come back to Columbus, and seems like a win-win for everyone, including me. Do it. JT, come back.
You think that Doug has a JT Barrett impression, like he has a Stetson Bennett impression? And if he did, what would you think that sounded like?
No comment.
Howdy, partners. I'm JT Barrett because he's from Texas.
I don't believe he has a JT Barrett impression.
I'm JT, and I coach quarterbacks for the Ohio State University.
If you've noticed, the man's impressions are all kind of the same. So like they have to be the same kind of person.
They're all Foghorn
Leghorn. Yeah.
But he also covered JT for his entire career, so he knows what he actually sounds like.
Yeah. So and I know that's all you got to say is, and with that, JT Barrett coming back to Ohio State. No, we're not saying that's happening, folks. We're just hypothesizing.
You can imagine what it would be like, is what we're saying. So when you look at this, zoom out for the entirety of the month, Bill, let's go more inside baseball. Mm-hmm. We've got the full student appreciation day, an expected full opportunity right before the spring game during the coach's clinic. These two windows for practice number one and number two, were you happy with what has been set out? Subject to change, could still get more down the road. We'll see. Do you think that this is enough for us to get through till April 13th?
Yeah, it's a little less, I guess, than what we ended up getting last year, which is a little bit of a bummer, I guess. But I also felt like we were right on the edge of maybe seeing too much practice last spring. It's like maybe we have
a
little too much information. We're over talking about things. If we're going to have limited practice watching opportunities, I would much rather them be later in the spring, which ours are. Like the student appreciation day, I think, is the end of March, and the other full practice is going to be the Friday of the coaches' clinic, which is the Friday before the spring game, which I always thought was kind of odd we weren't in there because like every high school coach in Ohio gets to go. Why wouldn't they let us go watch it too? So that'll be good. Like it's not maybe going to be the most competitive practice, but I think the practice before the spring game, and obviously, and in addition to the spring game, maybe we might be the most telling about like who's won jobs and who's really surged ahead at certain positions if there's opportunities to do so. So I would have liked the 4 or 5 full practices I think we ended up getting last spring. But getting 3 and having all of them kind of be in the second half of spring practice, I still think is pretty good.
I think it's just another reminder of what and how Ryan Day is doing heading into the season, why it's important. There's a lot of pressure on the season and all the distractions that, you know, whether or not we admit it, like we provide a certain distraction to the players when we're in there. And I think that this is a situation where the coaches want to be able to figure out what this team is going to be without all of our talking about it. And even though last year there was the quarterback battle between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, where I think it was almost split right down the middle all spring, I think we all think heading into this spring that Will Howard is the likely guy who will be the starter. And I don't think Ryan Day wants to have us in there like going over it with a fine tooth comb that much.
Sure. Yeah. Sharding passes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. It's, you know,
he's only going to get the benefit of that for a couple of weeks, though, because the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage is probably going to be pretty telling about where that is.
Last day for Will Howard and for Devin Brown. Those guys are
maintenance day in the spring.
Yeah, load management day.
If Ryan Day does that, his paranoia will have reached new heights. And I certainly hope that we don't have to deal with that, but we'll see how it goes. That media schedule has been set. Busy 6 weeks coming down here in Columbus and in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Could be more added to it, or maybe if I complain about it again, they'll just take it away. So I'll just, Yeah, I know. That'll be the last that I say about it. And we've got a lot more coming certainly later on here on a Media Monday. A merry holiday to you all. Thanks for getting it started with us. Stay with us all week long on the Podcast Daily. Podcast Kings of Columbus. We've got it covered from every conceivable angle. As we get in there for some practice with the Buckeyes. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I am Austin Ward. We will talk to you later.